Today on Real Radio.
Now he says that this man working, this farmer, or laboreth. The Greek word means to labor to the point of exhaustion, toil, or fatigue. Absolutely stretched for the Lord. You know, I really would desire that we'd become more fatigued for God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 2, where Paul uses military and agricultural analogies to explain aspects of our commitment to the Messiah and the work he has entrusted to us. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his mini-series called The Disciplined Soldier.
Are you engaged in warfare? This morning, as we prayed Wednesday night, asking the Lord to take Pam home, to deliver her from this body of sin and death, cancer. God, this morning, in the moments of this Sunday, the Lord's Day morning, took her to glory. She's free. She had battled and battled not only sin in this world like we are, but if anyone's going to compete, he's got to compete according to the rules. The rules are she hung in there until Jesus called her home. She fought. Biologically, she fought. The body wouldn't quit until it couldn't go anymore. And Jesus, in a moment, opens up a curtain. She's gone. And I don't know, maybe I'm a little morbid. I don't think so. But when a saint passes from this place into glory and you're standing alongside the bed, I didn't have this opportunity this time to do that, to be there. But there's something so awesome. When a person weighs anchor and goes into glory, the bummer is we've been left behind. Now this is theologically deep, so hang on. This week we had ants in our kids' bedrooms. And it looked like a freeway. You ever see them going along the wall? And I had this thought, this is terrible. And I thought, these guys, we're going to go get the vacuum cleaner and suck them up. In a moment that you think not, the vacuum will come. They did not know the day or the hour. They were doing their thing. They were engaged in stealing candy from the dresser. And what happened was, we powered up that Hoover, and I just went, whoosh. And I said to my wife, I said, you know what? In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, these guys were sucked up, and they were gone. And their friends that are running back to the corner, they don't know what's happening. There's confusion. Look at the line. Now that it's all breaking out into an open course for these ants to run. And you know what? God opened up the curtain and went, you're with me now. You're mine. And it's awesome. We are competing according to the rules. The rules are we fight. And we stay in the Word, and we pray, and we fellowship, and we engage in things that are godly. Why? The day's coming. It may be at the intersection out here, or it may be by the blasting of the trump of God, and we'll be caught up into glory. It could be via cancer. That's God's business. But we stand as soldiers competing according to the rules in the Olympic Games. Now, this is awesome. He says here that if we're going to compete, we need to compete according to the rules. You know what one of the rules are? In the Grecian Olympic Games, the wrestlers would come out there and they would strip themselves, and all that they would have on would be this gourd. I mean, it was like like Speedos. And you know what one of the rules were? I read this from a Greek historian. He said they would get out there and these guys, and before they started, their trainer, the one who watched over them and fed them, actually fed them and trained them and brought them all the way along, he would pull them off to the side and he would take a cruse of oil and he would anoint them with oil all over their body. And then this wrestler would go out and contend for the gold medal, actually for a wreath. And you know what? It made me think. If I'm anointed with the oil, if I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit, then the fact of the matter is I'm guaranteed a victory in this Christian battle, this Christian warfare. I don't fight the enemy like we talked about last week with that sword we whip around. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Holy Spirit anoints us to use the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. In 1 John 2:27, John tells us, but this anointing which you have received of him abides in you. That's the Holy Spirit. I fight according to the Holy Spirit. But this trainer would douse this man. Now, what's interesting is that this guy would go to battle, or wrestling, excuse me, and he would see to it that he had nothing hanging loosely upon his body that his opponent can get a hold of. And what do a lot of Christians do right now? They love the Lord, they're going along, but there's a little bit of pornography hanging over here. Or there's a little bit of lust hanging over here. There's a little bit of love of money hanging over here. And the enemy comes along, and out of your anointing, sticking this thing, and he looks and he grabs onto that and he begins to pull you down with that. You may love the Lord with all your heart. You may be contending for the faith, but in your life, you may be allowing something. Paul says, wait a minute. That something's not according to the rules. You're going to get goofy. You're going to get pulled down. You're going to get pinned. Get greased up by the Holy Spirit. Get anointed. Be in fellowship. Be in the Word. Contend for the faith. 2 Corinthians 1:21 says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. This word anointed can be translated colored. It certainly means covered by the Holy Spirit in the way of anointing, to be doused with the Spirit. If you're a believer, the Bible says you are anointed. Now listen, that word can be translated colored, multicolored. You know what? In Genesis chapter 37, you might want to take a look at it. In Genesis 37, verse 3, the Bible tells us, now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Genesis 37, 23 says, and it came to pass when Joseph was come into his brethren's area, his house there, that they stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors that was upon him. And they took him and they cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water there. I find that interesting. What's Paul telling us? You're anointed, Christian, with a lot of colors. Oh, not me, Jack. I'm just a boring old Christian. No, you're not. Oh, yes, I am. I'm not doing anything. Yes, you are. You're a Christian. You're here. You're growing. And you've got this portfolio about all the reasons why you can't be something as a Christian. And God says, is that my girl? Is that my boy? The one out of all his brethren I love the most, out of all the people of the world, I see John, I see Karen. I love that one. What? He or she's become, by faith, a child of God. So what does he do? He looks at you and he goes, man, you're colorful to me. You've got a coat of many colors. You're anointed by the Holy Spirit. But what does the world try to do to you? Rip that jacket off of you. Strip it off of you. You loser. You're good for nothing. Oh, you're a Christian, huh? Then why did you do this? Why did you do that? And they rip at our coat of many colors. Remember, just as Jacob loved Joseph by his divine choice, so the Lord loves you. And he's covered you with an anointing of many colors. Though I can't see your colors, the Lord sees your colors. And you're beautiful to him. You're awesome to him. And we're covered with this beautiful coat. And so he says that we must contend according to the rules. We could sit here all day and go through the rules, but some of those things I think need to be said right now. Some of the most important rules, I believe, are to be found in what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. He says, "Do you not know that these who run in the race run with all of their might that they might receive the prize? Run your Christian walk in such a way that you may obtain the prize. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do not obtain a perishable crown, but we, the Christian, will receive an imperishable or unfading crown. Therefore," Paul says, "I run this way, not with uncertainty." Where are you going in your walk? Paul says, "I don't run in uncertainty. I'm following Christ. I'm not following a little bit of Joseph Smith, a little bit of Shirley MacLaine, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. A little bit of the world, a little bit of Christianity." Paul says, "Man, when I run, I know I'm running right straight towards the cross. I know where I'm going." We don't run with uncertainty. Last Monday, I came out of the house, groggy-eyed, and I walked to outside to turn on the sprinklers, and we had this pine tree is kind of hanging over, and I'm like, "Oh, gosh, help me, Lord." And I'm like trying to wake up, and I walk out there to turn on the sprinkler. And I walked, and I felt this spider web. And I'm just going, freaking out, because we got these big ones. And I am just doing this most spastic disco dance you've ever seen. And the neighbor's backing out of his driveway. And I'm going. And I start running. Like Bill Murray, you know, something just freaky looking. I look like such a geek. I was not running with certainty. I was all over the place, man. And some Christians, some of us get goofed up and we're running our walk and we're flipping and floundering around. And we look like a mess. Get that off me, get that off me. Paul says, "Man, I don't run like that. I run like this, and I'm driving and I'm pushing. With certainty. Thus I fight." I mean, I run this way. And when I fight, he says, "I don't fight like one who beats the air." That's what I look like. He's direct. He knows exactly where to throw a punch. He's fighting Satan. He's fighting the forces of demonic activity, who a lot of you don't believe in. I don't believe in that kind of stuff. Hey, hang around me for a week. See somebody's eyeballs roll in the back of their head and stuff come out of their mouth, just like TV. Oh, great. What is that? Read your Bible. Strange voices. What is that? Hey, man, we're in a fight. It's awesome. Greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. We're going to win. But he says, "Man, I don't beat the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself might become disqualified." That's serious. In other words, pastor, you better shut up and practice what you preach. There shouldn't be a dichotomy between what I say on Sundays and what I live 6 days of the week. And that goes for you too. We should be running with a purpose. We should be fighting with direction. And look what he says in Corinthians there. He says, "But I discipline my body." Listen, one of the rules is this. You cannot take my place in my Christianity. I can't take your place. I can't pray instead of you. You might get up and say, oh, I don't feel like a Christian today. I hope Jack's praying for me instead. You've got to pray. I'm fighting. Are you fighting? Some people come in for counseling. You know what they want? And I won't do it. They want me to tell them where to turn their Bible to what verse. They want me to be Jesus for them. They want me to tell them what they ought to do. Now, some people, that's fine because they don't know the word. But some people, they don't want to sit before the Lord and wait on Him. And so they'll go to a counselor or they'll go to a pastor. And they want the pastor or somebody to take the shortcut for them and tell them what God wants them to do. I'll never do that. I would never be that involved. I'm not going to talk for God in counseling with you. Let the Bible tell you. Let the Lord tell you. I can point you to verses. I want the Lord to speak to you. I can't take your place. And you can't take mine. Look what he says. I discipline my body. I buffet my body. Now look, I cannot take my wife and buffet her body and put it under subjection to the will of the Lord. Now you get right with God now. Come on, pray. And then I sit back and eat Twinkies and watch I Love Lucy and expect to grow spiritually. Paul says, I discipline my body. I can't discipline your body and then expect me to grow. I've got to do it. I've got to follow Him for my heart, for my salvation, for myself, for my growth, for my continuance, and same for you. I cannot contend in the faith for you, nor you for me. It's a personal thing. Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 12:5, if you've contend with the footmen, Jeremiah, and they've pooped you out, what are you going to do when the chariots get here? Jeremiah took counsel of the Lord and stood up and went on in the fight and waxed strong. So we fight according to the rules. Now, verse 6, he says, the hardworking farmer must first be partaker of the crops. This, some of your Bibles may have a different translation that may be better than this, I think. Because as you look at this in the original, it more clearly says, the farmer must first be working before he can partake of the crop. The farmer's got to work first. He's got to do it. Why? He's the planter. He's the sower. And the sower eats the first things that come up. All of us in our lives, people, we're planting. We are all sowing seed. By every action we do as a Christian, there will be a reaction. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 tells us that we are sowing seeds and there will be a reaping, either in the spirit or in the flesh. God will not be mocked. We are planting seeds. All of us today, you don't even have to be a Christian this morning. You are planting seeds that will come to grow in your life in the future. Are they good or are they bad? But note here that the farmer, he's a hardworking farmer. He's a committed farmer. In Psalm 126:6, the word tells us, he that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again rejoicing and bringing his sheaves with him, his harvest. And I like that. That word in Psalm 126:6, weeping, he who goes underweight, sorrowing. Oh, I've got this load. I've got the gospel to give. I've got this to war in my Christian warfare. Oh, Lord, be my strength. Lord, be my supply. Be my grace. And what is he doing? He's bearing precious seed. He's distributing seed. And he will come again rejoicing, bringing in the harvest. We're going to Russia very shortly. Why? We want to see a harvest. We've been planting seeds in prayer. We've been planting seeds financially. We've been planting and planting, and now we are desirous to reap the harvest, and we're going to go. And we're excited. We have great expectations that God's going to do something. Why? We have sown our seeds in hope. God is faithful. We plant this seed, we expect the growth. That's the Lord's way, and we trust Him. Now he says that this man working, this farmer, or laboreth. The Greek word means to labor to the point of exhaustion, toil, or fatigue. Absolutely stretched for the Lord. You know, I really would desire that we'd become more fatigued for God. We get fatigued for so many things. We get fatigued Christmas shopping. We get fatigued for birthday this and that and the other thing. We get fatigued trying to find a restaurant that's a good place in the evening. Oh, I'm getting tired. Just pull over and eat something, for crying out loud. And we push and push and drive for silly things. If we would only get fatigued for the Lord, what a glory, what an honor to get pooped out for God, to get stretched for the Lord. You know, I'm such a ding-dong that if I wasn't getting stretched for God, I've always been stretched for something. At my other job, I was getting stretched with the hours, long hours, hard work. But hey, it's worth it when I get that check. Hot dog. This is great. What are we doing as Christians? Are we like Paul? He says, I agonizo in the Greek. I agonize towards the call of Christ. Man, it's awesome. But we can do this in hope. Isaiah 55:11 says that his word will not return void. So we have a promise of an investment that's going to be prosperous to us spiritually. 1 Corinthians 9:16 says, Paul, when I preach the gospel, he says, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach the gospel. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. He says, if I preach voluntarily or willfully, I will receive a reward. But if not voluntarily, I am simply doing the discharge, the discharging of the trust that God has put into my life. Maybe you're ministering and it's the joy of your life. You'll receive a reward. That's awesome. The Bible says that God does not like an uncheerful giver. He delights in a cheerful giver. When you go to the prayer meeting, are you like, oh, I'm running a prayer meeting. And hey, stay home. Don't taint the prayer meeting. Oh, God, I go to church today. Stay home. Be a cheerful giver. Come and give your heart to the Lord. Lord, I'm coming to pray. Don't feel like praying. I don't even want to be at church, but I'm coming. Lord, I just give you what little hope I have. I want to plant these seeds in the prayer meeting in hope, or I want to help out in the Care Bears ministry in hope. We need to be a cheerful relinquisher of our will toward the Lord. Paul says, man, I don't care if I'm preaching the gospel voluntarily or involuntarily. I'll do it for a reward, and I'll do it because it's a mandate upon my life. Committed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. It's a presentation called The Disciplined Soldier. Now, we are making available this series through 1 and 2 Timothy, all on one convenient MP3 CD. For your tax-deductible contribution of any amount to Real Radio, we'll send it your way. Now, to get in touch with us here at Real Radio, our phone number, which is toll-free, is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, or write us at Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273. Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.